Let us all say amen and want to thank our brother for leading us in that song on this afternoon. And as the song says, we are to sing and be happy. And as those that led us in prayer, pray for those of us that are going to face challenges. We all face some type of challenges. On last week, those that, especially those that are in the Texas area, more importantly, those that live in the Houston area, with the temperatures getting down in the teens and losing power. Sometimes, as one sister said, having water. But again, we understand that God is looking down, as the Bible tells us, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And so those that are Christians, those that are members of the Lord's body, you know that you have prayer, that God hears your prayers and can answer them. Again, I'm excited to be before your midst through the conference call to share the word of God. And again, want to thank the other brothers that have gone before me, mentioned the song leader, also the prayers that were made, along with the one that led the scripture reading on this afternoon, and the one who diligently leads us through communion and in our offering. And then I want to say welcome to those, or hopefully we have those that are visiting with us that may not share in our religious belief. We want you to know that you are our VIPs, and that means you are a very important person. And I'd like to share with you specifically those that are with us that are not members of the Lord's Church. A couple of scriptures, and if you hopefully you have your notepad, your pen and pad, and you can take notes of those things, scriptures that you may not be familiar with. In the Old Testament, in chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Jeremiah realized that the way a man was supposed to live was not to come from himself only. Jeremiah realized that. And so Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, began to prioritize for man and woman what life ought to be and what man and woman should seek. When he said in Matthew 6, chapter 6, and the verses number 33, the Bible says, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus prioritized, we can do a lot of things in life. We can seek and get all the education that we want to achieve and move up the ladder of success. But what Jesus said, from a spiritual standpoint, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, when Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said unto him regarding the kingdom, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus said that which one was to seek spiritually, Jesus said, unless a person was born again spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then concerning the kingdom, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, when the first assembly to worship God after his resurrection, the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that tells us those that should be saved were added to the church, which is the kingdom. And so I wanted to share that with you, and it's my responsibility as a preacher this afternoon. At the close of this message, I will share with you what God has given to us through his word, that one can be added to the church according to the scriptures, how one can be added to the kingdom of God, the church. I will share that at the end. And so I want to, again, extend that invitation to those that may be assembled with us, may have been invited by others, and you are worshiping with us via this conference call on this afternoon. And so I want to share with us from God's word that in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses, 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 and 6, the scripture that was read in our hearing on this afternoon, I want to share that the Apostle Peter begins to discuss Christian graces in the form of spiritual mathematics by addition, things that one must add to our faith. The Christian growth, development, and maturity is linked to these graces that are given by the Holy Spirit to Peter to give. And someone would say, well, why is faith important? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, Hebrews 11 and 6, the Hebrew writer said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I want to share on this afternoon that we have to have faith first. But also as a Christian, we have to add, as the Bible says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. And so I want to share with those that are listening up, and even those that are Christians, that we can see clearly. I'll do according to my ability to share with you so you can see clearly what God would have for us to do and how we can grow and develop as a Christian. And I want to say that Brother Brooks this morning talked about that being kept in prison. And I want to link that sermon with this sermon because for those that may not have been with us on this morning, that visiting this afternoon, in Acts chapter 12, when Brother Brooks was sharing this morning, again, he's speaking from the book of Acts, and I'm now into Peter's second letter to Christians. He's talking about the beginning of the church, evangelism, how those were added to the church, how those were faced trials in the first century. He said in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 regarding Peter, he said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And many asked for prayers today and talked about prison. And I want to share with us that if you don't have faith, you may stay in your prison, because it takes faith to get out of prison, because you have to be able to see things by faith. And I will give you the biblical definition of the word faith. And sometimes what we believe or think is faith may not be faith according to the Bible. And so I want us to know that you may be in a prison of sorts, but again, as was the case with Peter, and God allowed him to go free from those chains that was imprisoning him, there may be chains, financial chains that we may be having. There may be things. I was talking to someone today about the fact that not only 1 Peter 3:12, but also understand this when you have faith. Sometimes When faith is low, then anxiety is high. We are sometimes trouble ourselves over something that may not ever come to pass. We have things that we have to deal with, true enough, but there are some things because we allow our anxiety to get away from us and run from us, that faith that we need to open the door to get us out of some of these circumstances and situations that we're in, if we don't have faith, we stay in prison. So we want to talk about that on this afternoon. But first, because Peter said, and I'm going back to the letter, he says, and besides this, well, I'll start with what Peter said. He says, Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, notice the same faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I talk about knowledge, and I'll open up knowledge on this afternoon. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We're going to talk about virtue this afternoon. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by thee you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. We want to talk about them. I said before, those that have been listening, notice I talk about when you, sometimes when God talks about completeness, he uses seven. Notice when it comes to faith, he added seven graces to make the Christian complete. We'll talk about those first three that we should add to faith today after talking about faith. Then Lord says the same. This is part one. Next Sunday, we'll look at the Lord say the same, part two, and look at those other Christian graces, spiritual mathematics that the Lord has given to the Christian. And we'll talk about, as Peter said, what they would do for the Christian if the Christian have them in you. That's verse number 8. But then, what is biblical faith? Let us look at, turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I think it's important sometimes as we look at the Word of God that we can see behaviors that allow us sometimes to see ourselves in Scriptures that will help us to understand what something is. So I want to look at first, what is biblical faith? In John chapter 20 and the verses number 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And the reason he showed them his hands and his side, because they was witnesses from John chapter 19, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and they knew that they put nails in his hand. And then in John 19:34, a soldier took a spear and pierced him in his side, and the Bible said, forthwith came there out blood and water. So what Jesus was doing was confirming who he was. He showed him his hands and his side where he was pierced. And the Bible said that brought joy to those disciples. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of his Hebrew name, one of the 12 called Didymus, Greek name, was not with them when Jesus came. He wasn't there. The other disciples, therefore, verse 25, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Thomas said, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nail and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And understand this, the word faith and the word believe is the same word, Greek word, same word, came from the same word. So he said, I will not believe. The Bible says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, same thing, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, see, understand this here. Whatever thoughts we have in our heart, whatever we may say, understand the Lord is listening. God hears your thoughts. God knows when you have faith. God knows when you believe and when you don't believe. So he told Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. You said, you told them when you thought I wasn't present, you said to them, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch the print where I knew they nailed our Lord and Savior to the cross. He was up there 6 hours. He died for the sin of the world on that cross for 6 hours. However, Thomas said, unless I'm able to touch it, and unless I'm able to put my hand where the soldier pierced his side, I will not believe. And so Jesus told Thomas at that time, and be not faithless, but believe thee. Then Thomas answered and said unto Jesus, or him, my Lord and my God. Not only are you my Savior, but you also my God. And so Jesus' response to Thomas was, he said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So understand this. Biblical faith is believing without having to see it. Biblical faith is believing without having to see it. Now, but however, notice what the Bible says. So what Thomas did was acknowledge the resurrection of Christ and his deity by the fact he said, my Lord and my God. And then John wrote for us in verse 30 and verse 31. He said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Notice now. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might, not will, you might have life through his name. So we see here that we have to believe the things that are written. No one has seen heaven. However, we believe there's a heaven because those things are written in the Bible. No one should want to go to hell, that terrible place. Why? Well, we have, no one has come back from hell and told us how bad it is. However, we don't want to go because we believe what is written in the Bible in Luke 16 regarding hell is actually Hades, where those that are lost go upon death and separation. But we don't want to go there. We believe it because it is written in the Word of God, the Bible. So then, by definition, faith is to believe, to accept or regard something as true. It means to be persuaded. It also means to trust, which is a belief that someone or something is reliable. Give it to you again. I want you to get this. Faith, to believe, to accept, or regard something as true. It means to be persuaded. That means I believe and accept the fact that there's a heaven and there's a hell. I'm persuaded about that. And as Brother Brooks said in his message this morning, now I need to be persuaded to show obedience to God. And I'm going to tell you why. It means to trust or to have belief in someone that is reliable. In other words, I put my trust in Jesus. That's who my trust is in. In Jesus, my belief is in him because he's reliable. So how do I get faith? How do I get faith? Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And the verse is number 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. Let me turn that with you. Paul, in talking to the Romans, said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our personal faith is based on God's confirmed revelation, which is the Bible. God has revealed to man through the Bible things. So my faith come by hearing, and the hearing must be the word of God. Somebody, as I'm doing this evening, must preach from the Bible, the word of God. That's how I develop my faith. And so understand this here. Faith must be supported by obedience. Look at James chapter 2 and verse number 26. James chapter 2 and the verse is number 26. James tells us something. He said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When a person dies physically, their spirit leaves their body, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And so the body is dead. It has no more spirit in it. And so James said, if you got faith and you don't add actions or obedience with it, then your faith is dead. You have to do what the Bible says. Your faith must be active. Your faith must be active. And so, that's faith. The first step to salvation is faith in the deity of Jesus. Faith apart from obedience is worthless. It's worthless. You can't have faith and not be obedient to the word of God. You have to have that. Let's move on. Spiritual mathematics and Christian graces. We're going to talk about three this afternoon. Peter said, and besides this, giving all diligence. And diligence means seriousness and sincerity. Sometimes we are not as serious or sincere as we need to be, but Peter acknowledged, and besides this, he said, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is that which is concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. Say it again. Virtue is that which is concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. Now, who determines what is right and what is wrong? God does through his word. So when you add to your faith, you have to begin the practice of moral living. That is a commandment from God. Virtue has to do with moral living, me living morally. How do you know that, Brother Stroud? In Philippians chapter 4 and the verses number 8, I want you to see all these things that encompasses virtue. Philippians 4 and 8, Paul writing to the Philippians said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, watch the word just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, Paul told them, think on these things. So as a Christian, when I'm living morally, I got to have, my mind ought to be on things that are right behavior, things that are goodness in my character. I want to live morally right in keeping with the commands of God. So that's what virtue is. So when Paul said, now that you're a Christian, and now you have the faith that calls you to show obedience to God and become a Christian, now I want you to add virtue or moral living to your Christianity. Now, let's study a case involving virtue. I want you to see virtue in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 1, remember the word virtue has to do with being true, being honest, being just, being pure. Those are things that encompasses virtue. So in Matthew chapter 1, and the verse is number 18. Notice what the Bible says. Now the birth of Jesus, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so the word espoused means to become the wife of. So Mary was, we use the word engaged, to become the wife of Joseph. But the Bible said before they came together, from a marital standpoint, the Bible says that Mary was pregnant. Joseph didn't know who impregnated her, but he found out she was pregnant. Now watch virtue in Joseph and how the Matthew, the writer, identifies it. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. When you are a just man, when one has virtue from the word of God, their character will show forth itself in their behavior toward others. Watch what Joseph did. Joseph found out Mary was pregnant. Didn't know who did it. Know somebody did. The Bible says, Joseph, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I found out that you're pregnant. I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm not going to put your business in the street. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to break this off privately. No one has to know. You're pregnant. I know you didn't get pregnant by me. But because the fact that I have virtue, I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to put you down. I'm just going to walk away privately. Now watch verse 20, and I'm help us with verse 20. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, he thought about putting her away because she was pregnant. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. He said, fear not, don't you be afraid to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so once that was explained to Joseph, Joseph did right because he was a just man. And God knew the type of character Joseph had when he used Mary as the physical mother of Jesus. God knew what type of character that Joseph had. If I just said, Joseph going to do what's right because Joseph is a just man and Joseph has virtue. And when Joseph found out that the angel of the Lord, Joseph did what's right. Let me say this while I'm traveling this surface. Some of our young men today, if you were to do what's right and not leave that person that you have impregnated by herself, for herself, and you do what's right and proper, if you choose not to marry the person, still do what's right by the child and for the mother. Too much of that happening in the world today and even in the church. We impregnate the person. And then we can't find you after that. When bills need to be paid, milk need to be bought, food need to be purchased, where are you? Sometimes going to your next adventure. If we teach people to do right by the Bible, do right by the Word of God, because the Word of God teaches us. While I'm on that point, let me just share this while I'm there. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let me give this scripture. So we say, well, he didn't tell us what the Bible says to do. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, they wrote Paul a letter. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. What do you do if you want to avoid fornication? Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Yeah, the marriage must be, let me say this here, must be honest in the eyesight of God. But that's what we teach. So we teach those young people that are growing up to abstain from sexual relationships. That's what the preacher preaches. Yeah, that's what the preacher preaches. Abstain. But that's not my message today. Let me move on. I was traveling by that surface, and I want to share that because it can help somebody in their decision making. Yeah, in their decision making. Number two, knowledge. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Define knowledge, Brother Stroud. Knowledge is to come to know or understand, especially that which is spiritual truth. So knowledge, again, is to come to know or understand, especially that which is spiritual truth. So how does one gain spiritual knowledge? I want to share with you in the Bible. 3 points on knowledge. Number one, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesus, he said this to them, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Those that are able, have the ability to read. Paul said to them to read that you might understand. Now, understand by definition means to grasp the meaning of something with your mind. To grasp the meaning of something with your mind. If I was to tell someone to pick up that glass, you grab it with your hand, that it don't slip out. Well, when it comes to understanding, it means to grab with your mind to get a good understanding of the Word of God. Yeah, so it's not just reading. You have to understand. Note what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15. So we have to read, first of all. And then Paul, when he wrote his second letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to study. More than just reading, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Notice now, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word of God needs to be rightly divided. Yeah, you have people read the word of God, but have you rightly divided that? So, and the word study comes from the same word meaning give your diligence or be serious about your study. Yeah. And then, how does this work? Acts chapter 17, talking about knowledge now. You'll see the word knowledge. You saw it in Ephesians 3 and 4 in the word knowledge, but I'm going to show you how that works for the Christian when it comes to studying, worshiping, Bible class, what the mindset should be and how I ought to respond. In Acts chapter 17, talking about knowledge, how does one gain spiritual knowledge? In verse number 10, the Bible says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And he said, when he went in Berea, he said, these of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So what does that mean? The word noble here means to be very serious about learning. You're more studious. You're not, you know, it's like when you come to Bible class and you have come prepared because you've done your homework. You studied the lesson, the assignment that the preacher has or the teacher has given you to study. You've done that. Why? Because you're noble. You're going to study. You go and look at the sermon for Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You study the text already, and you waiting for Brother Brooks or myself or whomever preaching to explain the text. Why? Because you're noble. And he said they received it with all readiness. In other words, they were very interested and prepared. Yeah, yeah. And notice this here. Let me say this while I'm here. The Bible doesn't tell us who was doing the teaching. The Bible doesn't tell us who was doing the preaching. Because they were ready to receive the word. They were ready of the mind to receive the word of God. Let me say this here. When you are only concerned about someone else preaching, who's preaching today? Well, I won't listen today because I don't care for his preaching. Let me tell you, that's an evil thought. That's an evil thought. Let me show you in the Bible that's evil. Turn to James chapter 2, because sometimes if we're not careful, we get locked in on a certain preacher or preaching. And I'm talking about when a person is sharing with you the word of God, notice the mindset in James chapter 2 and verse number 3. Let me show you where the thought is when you become a partial or respectful. James chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay or the nice clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand out there or sit here under my footstool. Because the person is dressed well, you tell him to sit here. Because the person may not be dressed as well, you tell him to get under your footstool. Notice what James said. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Be careful when you become so selective of you want to hear this preacher, you want to hear that preacher, or you don't care for that teacher and that teacher. Well, if the person is done according to their ability, everybody have to learn sometime. Everybody needs to be trained. No one becomes a nurse by birth. You have to be taught and trained to become a nurse. Doctors don't start off being doctors. They have to go to 8 years of school, then add 4 more years before they are certified as an MD. They still have to be trained. And sometimes we have to allow people, we have to have the humility and the spirit to allow people to be trained. Yeah. And so, let me go back to the text. I'm still in Acts 17 because there's a part that you played. Those that are of a noble mind and want to receive the word of God, the Bible says they search the scriptures daily. Now, I want to show what that word search means. In Acts 25 and verse 24, the word search by definition means it was in the Greek, it meant the preliminary investigation for gathering evidence for the information of the judges. Notice in Acts chapter 25 and verse 24 concerning Festus. The Bible says, and Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. They wanted to kill Paul, but when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto you, unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that, notice what he says, after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. When it comes to hearing scripture, we ought to, as Festus said, you have to examine. You search the scripture daily. You have to examine what is being taught. Then you have something to write or something to say. One must first, when it comes to knowledge, one must first be willing and prepare to be taught the word of God by a faithful teacher in Christ's church. Next, one must have the desire to search the scriptures every day, not every other day, every day, to confirm what one has been taught. That's how one gains spiritual knowledge. And then as I close, temperance. Temperance, by definition, is self-control. That's what it means. Self-control. The right use demands the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. In other words, in order to have the proper use of self-control, it demands that your feelings and your actions be held under control through the operation of the Spirit of God that influences your behavior. Let us go to Genesis 29 as I move toward a close. Let's study how self-control can work in a child of God. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and I'm going to commence at verse number 1. Read that quickly, and the message is yours. And I thank you for your patience on this afternoon. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand. See, sometimes, even when you are a Christian or you're a child of God, sometimes God allows others to prosper around you because you are there. The Bible says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand into Joseph. Everything he had, he gave it to Joseph. When you know somebody is godly, a God-fearing person, and God with them, you let them handle your business. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all, not some, all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. In other words, he didn't know all that he had. All he knew was Joseph gave him to eat. Why? Because he trusted Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was a man with virtue. Why? Because Joseph was a just man. Why? Because God was with Joseph. The Bible says, and Joseph was a godly person. And welfare. God, Joseph looked good. And it came to pass after these days that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now, those that live in Houston, you know, the University of Houston, their mascot is a cougar. So I guess if that was 2021, she would be called, labeled as a cougar, going after something younger than her she could take advantage of. And she told him, basically, I want you to have sex with me. Notice now, I want you to see the self-control that Joseph had and why he had it. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knew not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Joseph knew where he was and where the Lord had placed him. He said, neither has he kept back anything from me but these. I know. You ain't got to tell me. I know what I'm not supposed to touch. I have self-control. I know what ain't mine, Joseph told her. But because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God, the Spirit of God influences Joseph's behavior. Joseph knew not to touch what didn't belong to him, even though he was young. You know, he was young. And notice that she didn't just stop there. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, every day she was hitting on him, that he hearkened or listened not to her, to lie by her, or to be with her. So I'm telling you, even our young people, listen, baby, you can stay abstinent. You can live a Christian life. You can be a Christian even during this day and age. Just don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it. Young women, our young sisters, don't let him fool you with that foolery. Yeah. Don't let a knucklehead put his knuckles on you. Joseph, he even ended up having to suffer, but God raised him up because she lied on him. Understand this, when you do right, people will lie on you. It comes with the territory. So that's an example of one exercising self-control through the Spirit of God dwelling in him. If you're here tonight, this afternoon, I thank you for your patience. I wouldn't say apologize. I just thank you for your patience and listening to me. I want to close with this concerning that with Joseph. It is our relationship with God that can control the behavior of the Christian, even when we are tempted to do wrong. It is our relationship with God that can control the behavior of the Christian, even when we are tempted to do wrong. Will we do wrong? Yes, we will, because all have sinned. And will we slip? Yes, we will. But the stronger we get in the Word of God, the stronger we can be, as Joseph did, we can refuse that temptation. Why? Because we've gotten stronger. So now, as I close, now I'm back to those that were our VIPs. How does one obtain the like precious faith that I've been talking about and become a Christian, a child of God, and a member of the Church of Christ? Go back to Peter's lesson. Go into Peter's first lesson. Well, Peter, I think, does an excellent job in 1 Peter 3:18. Peter tells us about what you'll find in other places in the Bible called the gospel. 1 Peter 3:18. The Bible says, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I'm now talking about what Thomas saw when Christ was a just and he trying to bring us back to God. He died in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit made him alive again. That's what Thomas knew that he saw. That's what Peter referring to that he also saw. Christ suffered for us. That's called the gospel. Three facts of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He suffered on the cross 6 hours. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. He rose the third day by the Spirit. And so now, to become a child of God, you must be obedient to God. So you heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sins, you turn to Christ. Hopefully you're doing that today. Now you must confess what you'll find. Write this down, Acts 8:37. When the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he first stated, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One must make that statement. I believe, that's the confession you make. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you culminate that with being obedient to God in baptism. Notice in verse number 20, where the Bible talks about Noah was doing his preaching, and the bottom it says, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Then it says in verse 21, the like figure, what? Water, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one culminate, you've been taught by a faithful teacher this afternoon, you've heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sins, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then be water baptized, then Acts 2:47 comes into play, the Lord will add you to the only church you find in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. You can go read it for yourself. I thank you very much for your patience this afternoon. I turn you back over to our song leader. Thank you very much.